Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. We started life in a studio barn on the Naramata Bench, and here we are 12 years later. Today's show is part two of our journey to Tofino. We were going to the Tofino Food and Wine Festival, but with the help of Tofino Tourism, Linda Kay, we lined up all the chefs for last week and had a wonderful conversation, got the food side out of the way. Now we're heading for Industrial. It's Industrial Road in Tofino. Not a lot of signage, not a lot of glamour, but Tofitians know where they get their food, know where they get their whiskey, where they get their brewing and their bakery. It's all there, and the roaster, and Lutz and his face plant. It's all right there on Industrial Road, just before you get to Tofino on the left-hand side. Can I give you a heads up about the coming weeks? We're going to start repeating some of these shows because we too would like a summer vacation. But Jim Cuddy's coming. We're going to talk about Cuddy by Taz Wines. I'm working on a special feature on field blends and the BC Shellfish Festival in Courtney Comox. Have an interview with Chris Tolley from Moon Cursor and Rolf from Fort Barons in Lillooet and the legendary Andrea Sartori from 121 years of Italian winemaking at Sartori. All right, let's head for Tofino, part two. Tina Windsor from Picnic Charcuterie. Neil Campbell from Tofino Craft Distillery, Brian O'Malley from Tofino Brewing, Brendan Fell and Cassidy McGoggin from Summit Bakery, and then to the 17th annual Tofino Food and Wine Festival. We'll talk to Kira Rogers, the producer, Sarah Triggs from Culmina, Paul Gardner from Pantage, Rob Hammersley from Black Market Wines in Culloden, Chris Smith, who's pouring Tantalus, Burnt Timber, Summerhill, Township 7, and Stoneboat. And then we bumped into David Gouge from Sea Star on the Gulf Islands. And it's the first time I've had a microphone in my hand and since I've seen him, and we decided to finish the show with David Gouge from Sea Star. Here we go, Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Canada's number one winery, Road 13. It's time to book your dinner with Backyard Farms and Road 13. Amazing artisan wines with four-course meals prepared by Chef Chris Van Hooydonk of Backyard Farms. July 27, August 17, September 28, and October the 5th. All the details at road13vineyards.com. We're going to do a sort of a walk around in Tofino. We're going to Tofino Brewing, the distillery, and maybe one other stop. But we start where we should, at Picnic Charcuterie, which is on Industrial Way. Our host and the leader of this team is Tina Windsor, and we're sitting on her patio. If you hear trucks coming and going, it's because everybody's coming for lunch and sandwiches and things. How did you get here? Were you a local?
I'm not a local. I'm from Ontario. I'm from Ottawa originally. I moved out here on a contract to finish other work, and I had been living in Victoria for about 2.5 years. I worked at Shushu Charcuterie. Oh, yeah, and that's where I learned my craft. And when I moved here, I was looking for a career change and a start of something. And a couple of locals found out that this was something that I had some capacity in. And in 6 months, between January and June, we put together a business plan, found some money, and opened the first version of the shop.
When was that?
That was in June 2014 is when we opened our doors.
Okay, fine. And what's happened in those years?
There's been many evolutions. We've had a renovation every year, and we've expanded almost threefold. It started just me. I was cashier, producer, dishwasher, accountant, everything.
And what are you now, CEO?
I guess that's the... I'm still kind of everything. I fit everywhere, so I can relieve different employees for days off or if they want to take vacations, but I'm basically manager owner.
We are outside in the Tofino wind with Tina Windsor, who is the owner operator of Picnic Charcuterie on Industrial Way. How much has Tofino changed in the 5 years, or does it change?
Oh, it changes. It's evolved. Even just Industrial Way in the last 5 years has evolved substantially. I started here, people said that it was going to stay industrial, and you know, we were just going to be a production facility that had a small storefront. And since we've been here, we've had the distillery open, the bakery open, the coffee company, which was used to be right next to me, moved up to next to where the bakery is, and they have a whole new shop opening. The brewery moved and opened a giant facility.
There's a fish store.
Well, so Lutz had his production facility here and then his store downtown. And then last year he also moved his store here. So it's in the last 2 years, just Industrial Way has blown up. And that same story is true about the rest of Tofino. So there's a lot more happening. There's a lot more on offer. The culinary scene's really exploding too.
Are they being driven by locals or by the tourists who show up en masse?
A little bit of both. I often laugh when I think about the stuff that I'm able to sell now that people wouldn't take a second look at before.
Such as?
Induya is a really good example. It's fermented salami, so it's a proper salami, but it's done with quite a bit of fat. It's and quite a bit of spice, so it's raging hot and super fatty. It's spreadable at room temperature, and it's something that 5 years ago, people just weren't interested in. Same thing with bone broth. That was not something that people were interested in. Liverwurst, head cheese, like everything that fell into that non-standard category, people are actually coming in. They know how to say it. They're excited about it. It's changed dramatically.
And it's word of mouth, isn't it?
It's a lot of word of mouth.
There's no foot traffic here. This isn't main drag.
We don't even have a sidewalk. I think it's a lot of people in town speaking and singing our praises. And I mean that for everybody on Industrial Way. Visitor center, a lot of servers, people tell out-of-towners to come to Industrial Way to check out interesting food options.
That's fantastic. Well, it helps that you're all banded together.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's a small town, so I think most people here are really about supporting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're all in it together.
We sure are. We're a town of 2,500 people. There's a lot going on, and so we do need to be able to support each other.
We are outside in the Tofino Wind with Tina Windsor, who is the owner-operator of Picnic Charcuterie on Industrial Way. And what does the summer tourist trade demand of you?
It about triples our production.
What can you source locally?
We source basically from the island as much as we can. Sure. So all of our beef and our pork comes from the island. Anything we can't get on demand comes from the lower mainland. So we don't reach any further than the Fraser Valley. We get bulk help from Banfield. We have a couple wild harvesters that work locally that get us mushrooms and different kinds of herbs, wild roses. We also work with the Culinary Guild, and they're bringing in fresh vegetables from all over BC as well.
The company's called Picnic Charcuterie. Cured meats, provisions, local and seasonal BC ingredients. It's Picnic Charcuterie, and we're talking to the owner-operator, Tina Windsor. She's waving like she's a beauty queen on a float in a parade. She's very popular. Let's talk about the culinary side of Tofino, which is exploding.
Mm-hmm.
Too fast, too soon? Does it feel comfortable?
I think there's a lot of wiggle room when you think about the fact that the majority of our population during the summer months are tourists looking to dine out. It makes a lot of sense during the busy season, and it makes it a harder go in the winter.
Sure.
But I don't think that not offering the kind of diversity that we have in the summer is an option.
Yeah.
In other words, everyone's quite busy. So I think what the responsible thing to do is to try and figure out how to make the shoulder seasons and winter season busier. I don't think that we have too much going on in Tofino. I think it's exciting, and the fact that we're known for a culinary destination it's a very exciting time to be here and be in the food scene. And until something happens, I don't think that there's a problem with how it's growing.
Okay. Are you going to the Food and Wine Festival?
I am, yeah.
Are you serving?
Yes.
Oh, what are you going to have?
We are offering a dish called Pork Three Ways, gluten-free, dairy-free combination of a smoked pork sausage, a pork liver pate, and a cured pork salumi. So it's three completely different ways of handling three completely different cuts of pork, and they're all served sort of like a taco, but the meat is the taco.
At some point, if this continues to be as successful as I think it's going to be and is, do you end up downtown?
I don't know.
Don't you want that foot traffic?
You know, I do. I don't know if I want the overhead, and I don't know if we could carry that through the winter.
Maybe you could take the collective with you.
The collective?
All your neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Just Industrial Way takes over downtown.
Yeah.
I think that the charm of being on Industrial Way is contributes to what it feels like up here. I mean, we're like high class, lowbrow around here. It's some of the best food you can find anywhere, and it's done out of garages. This is the old public works building that I'm
in. If we can find you.
Yeah. Signage has always been an issue, but I mean, sidewalks would be a great start, and demarcated parking would be a great start. Even just things like that, I think, would be enough to give Industrial Way a sense of destination.
Cachet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily want to change the aesthetic. It's there's no point in putting lipstick on a pig.
Your three most popular items out of the room.
We sell a lot of orange and walnut salami. It's cured pork salami done with walnut pieces and orange zest, toasted fennel. I think it's a little bit different. We sell a ton of our chicken liver pate. We do it without egg, and it's made with duck fat and butter. So it's pretty decadent.
The glue that holds it together.
The glue that holds it together is duck fat. That's our secret to success. And as far as other house-made products go, we sell a lot of something called a culatello. I think that's partly because a lot of people coming in looking for prosciutto because it's something they know. And culatello is basically a smaller version of a prosciutto. There's a boneless piece that's quite small. And it's our most simple product. It's literally just salt and pork. There's no preservatives. There's no seasoning. It's just salt and pork. And it produces this incredibly elegant flavor and texture. And people get really excited about that kind of elegance, I think.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's our name. It's picniccharcuterie.com. But Instagram, Picnic Meats.
By the way, there is on a board, because I'm going to take a shot of it. What's on that?
There are a couple cheeses. One is Avonlea aged cheddar from PEI. The other is a Caprano. It's a goat cheese from Quebec. It's got the meats are copa, which is a cured pork shoulder. It's like a neck muscle with spice coating on the outside, orange and walnut salami. And we made a smoked pork hock galantine, which is basically shredded smoked pork hock that's suspended in a reduced, highly gelatinous pork stock.
Have you had a boardroom discussion as CEO of whether you wanted to do anything with hemp ingredients?
Hemp? No, we haven't discussed that yet, but I'm definitely open to it. I'm pretty excited about the idea of local consumables, so if we can work more local stuff into what we do, I'm definitely game.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The company's called Picnic Charcuterie, and we're talking to the owner-operator, Tina Windsor.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Across the street from Picnic Charcuterie, downhill from the distillery and the bakery, is Tofino Brewing Company, probably the oldest of all of those guys. Brian O'Malley is one of the partners. You've been in business, what, 10 years?
Well, 8 years this past April.
Why would you start a brewing company in Tofino when it seems that every other person is drinking Lucky Lager? I don't understand that.
Well, I think you answered your own question there. It sounds like a pretty fun project to me, living in Tofino and making beer. And anyways, so we decided to go for it. And starting out, we were incredibly small, and we had a very strong community support. And we thought we made pretty good beer. And year after year, we slowly got bigger and bigger and bigger. And here we are in our new facility. We're packaging beer in different formats, shipping it all across the province. Basically, we had a small storefront, and the way that we sold our beer was strictly out of the taps into growlers, and then away we go. We didn't even bottle off the beginning or really distribute any wholesale products.
But so, that worked.
Yeah, it worked out great. Yeah, that's really how we got the momentum going and allowed ourselves to slowly, you know, be able to get a little bit bigger.
What was the last big small batch thing that turned out blockbuster?
I would say our Dimension Ascension. It's a dry hopped pale ale, super fresh, really bright, and definitely a staff favorite here.
He's Brian O'Malley. He is one of the partners at Tofino Brewing. You have a kelp stout.
We do.
Kelp is starting to show itself.
Yeah.
In some cases, it's a hook. In other cases, it makes sense. Like for Sheringham, it made sense. It made their gin stand out at the Worlds. How's that working for you and the stout?
Oh, I think it's been working great. We've been making the kelp stout for, you know, almost uh, about 6 years now. That was one of our true unique offerings that we that we put out in the BC beer world back in, I think it was 2012 or 2013. And I think the kelp incorporated into that stout is a really great pairing because, you know, the stout obviously has a roasty, chocolatey note, and the kelp has a little bit of that salty, briny. So when you put them together, you kind of get salted chocolate. So it kind of works. We brew beer that we personally like drinking. So that's
so old school.
Yeah. So that's the first and foremost. Yeah. And, you know, we really try to be rooted in the community first and be a positive addition to this town. And that's like one of our, that's basically our mission statement. And if we have the support of the community, we have, you know, the community then will bring tourists up here and then tourists go back to where they are. And hopefully they had a good experience here at the brewery and try the beer that they like, but then they go to their local liquor store and see it on the shelf. And then it kind of pings that memory of coming out here, and yeah, that's kind of how we drive sales.
Brian O'Malley, Tofino Brewing, heading for the Tofino Food and Wine Fest?
Yeah, we are.
And you're pouring. We don't know what it's going to be at this time, but if you could just choose two of the off the top of your head, what would you be pouring there?
Oh, I'd say the Spruce Tree Ale. That's another one of our kind of staples, much so like the Kelp Stout. That's a beer that definitely separated us. Really fresh, bright, and it has this like unique quality that the fresh pick Sitka Spruce Tips gives it. And then we'll probably maybe do our Wonders of Nature Kettle Sour. It's a dry hop kettle sour, tart, bright, yes, super crushable.
He's Brian O'Malley. He is one of the partners at Tofino Brewing. Strangely enough, in Tofino, the last time you had your board meeting, your partners, you and your partners, has the word cannabis infused come up?
Oh yeah, definitely. That sounds like a pretty good time. When we talk about, we just think it would be pretty fun.
Pretty
but
fun.
At the same time, that's not really what we're good at. You know, coming up with a product that mixes, that infuses, cannabis and beer. We're just probably going to stick to beer, and we'll let someone else try that for the first time.
Go have a run at that.
Yeah.
Tofino is a brand.
Absolutely.
How's that work for you?
I think that's definitely a driving force for our brewery here. But again, it all goes back to us as a brewery being really rooted in this town and making sure that, you know, that we're a positive addition here. So in terms of us trying to become huge and go across Canada and that, I don't know if that's necessarily where we want to be.
Exactly that, and I agree with you. What's your website?
TofinoBrewingCo.com.
Thank you, man.
Oh, thank you very much.
Time.
Absolutely.
Brian O'Malley, one of the partners at Tofino Brewing.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the Wine Online National Wine Awards, number one winery in Canada. Summer hours are here. They're open now until Thanksgiving. The Castle is open daily, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Until August the 30th, Bench 1775 is doing a Cab Franc vertical at high noon every Thursday. And you get to try the 2016 before everyone else does. And Wednesdays and Saturdays, starting at 8:45, it's outdoor yoga. All the details at bench1775.com.
This is Tasting Room Radio. You can find the details for this show and all of the pictures of these people, like mugshots, at mulliganstew.ca and tastingroomradio.com. We're doing a neighborhood walk. It's an industrial neighborhood. Neil Campbell has invited me to sit down at one of these tables and have a conversation about Tofino and spirits, the Tofino Distillery. I know what kind of beer town Tofino would be, or even Vancouver Island. What kind of spirits town was it before you got here?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, actually. I think Vancouver Island, historically, you've got loggers and fishermen and industries such as those. You got the mill in Port Alberni, so there's a lot of Lucky Lager drinkers and Alberta Pure drinkers. But
there is no excuse for Lucky Lager. None. There is no excuse for Lucky Lager, but beyond that.
So it's been, we've seen this this sort of resurgence of buying local, and I refer to it often as the craft revolution. So we've seen a lot more of that on Vancouver Island specifically. It's kind of a nice nucleus to work from as far as the greater cell of British Columbia and Canada. But yeah, we have such an incredible mix of distilleries and breweries on the island that it speaks volumes for the environmental, the sustainability thing and the buying local standpoint. And so we see a lot more people drinking local in that regard.
And of course, it's not just spirits, it's cocktails, it's mixology.
Absolutely. We've got a huge culinary scene here in Tofino specifically, so lots of excellent restaurants and mixologists and chefs alike that really do an awesome job at providing a really cool experience for tourists and locals alike. So it's been great.
So Neil, I'm looking at this spectacular card of yours, but it doesn't say what your job description is. Does that mean this is your shop?
That's right. Yeah, there's three of us that started this. We're all volunteer firefighters in Tofino here for many, many years now. We've all called this home for, over a decade and 15 years and, different varying degrees of job titles that we've had over the years. But now we kind of jack of all trades it, I guess.
When did you start?
We opened the doors at the end of June last year. There was a combination of factors that sort of brought this to life. We had a big focus on whiskey in our whiskey program. So you can see that just right in behind you here. We've got about 14, 15 barrels full. So that was the inspiration behind it, the handshake really to open the doors and get everything going. We had some vodka and some gin in the meantime, and now we've kind of evolved from there. All of us, we were buddies beforehand, and it's been extremely challenging, but extremely rewarding.
Neil Campbell, Tofino Distillery. Tell me about the product line and how wide it is now.
Yeah, so right now we've taken a bit of a different approach from the traditional spirits game. We actually have kind of blown the doors off as far as what we have available to the general public. We have three vodkas, three gins, we have an absinthe, an authentic absinthe, we now are doing an organic, we call it Tofino Beach Fire. It's a cinnamon spirit, similar to Fireball. Everything we do here is certified organic across the board, so we're going through the process right now of getting our audits for that.
All right, let me ask you this. When people are sitting here Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock on the stools, and you got the doors open and it's rocking, are they thinking about the organics?
That's a good question. I think some people are, just for our location.
Oh, yeah.
But probably not.
If I'm going to do this, I'm going to go full organic, man.
It was more of a personal commitment to the environment for us, that we wanted to sort of be ahead of the curve and on that trajectory, maybe before other people are doing it. We're trying to go paperless. The sustainability thing with the certified organic, all of those sort of steps in the process were something we value pretty heavily.
You need water. What's Tofino water like? Where are you getting your water?
Tofino water comes from, the stuff that we get comes from the Mears Island watershed just across the inlet. It actually gets pumped under the ocean, which I think people find rather interesting usually. But yeah, some of the cleanest water you can find in British Columbia, which is, speaks volumes for, the rest of Canada. It's incredible. It's barely treated. It's some of the softest water you can find. Really good for brewing. So for us, it's incredible. We're blessed with some of the best water.
He's Neil Campbell. He's one of the partners in Tofino Distillery, Industrial Way. Strangely enough, in Tofino, BC. What's the star of the show?
The star of the show right now, our absinthe does really well, but we have this excellent old growth cedar gin that we do. And we have a pink gin. It's a rose hibiscus gin. Great for cocktails. I think just gin in general has taken off in the last little while. So it's been a really good talking point for us, and people are enjoying it.
Spirits, psychedelic jellyfish absinthe.
So we do a 73% absinthe that's got all the characteristics of an authentic absinthe from the late 1800s. And we want people to enjoy it responsibly, but also understand that it doesn't have to be something that's scary.
Beach Fire Cinnamon Spirit.
The idea with that one was to create something that was nice, around 30%, easy to drink. They call it sort of the après or the chairlift style spirit, but we want it to be kind of your après surf, enjoy it around the campfire while you're camping, that kind of a spirit. It's a lot of fun.
Small batch vodka. Jalapeno vodka, espresso vodka. What kind of bar town is it?
It's been a huge success. We have seen a huge, huge transition to more of the craft world and more of the brewery here. I mean, they've been in business for a decade now, and yeah, it's incredible. I mean, people come here specifically for the brewery, so we're looking to become that same sort of staple in town here as well.
Neil, are you going to the Food and Wine Festival?
I am.
Are you pouring?
Absolutely.
What are you going to pour?
We're actually pairing with the Tofino kombucha. So we have a beautiful kombucha cocktail that our bar manager, Kat, has concocted for us.
What's in it? Okay, what's in it?
It's blackberry honeybush kombucha by Tofino kombucha. There's a cardamom orange syrup, orange blossom water, and of course, West Coast dry gin.
Cool, thank you. And you're pouring that tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll be pouring that, and then we're actually doing a fun little one with our absinthe as well. I know it's been a bit of a talking point today, so I want to make sure we get it out for you.
And how long are you going to stay in these posh digs?
You know what? That's a good question. We feel like we've already outgrown them at this point, but
don't you want to be downtown as well?
It would be lovely to be downtown. I mean, as far as this, the industrial way sort of vibe right now, I think we're finding it to be very helpful.
No, it's very cool. I'm just thinking if you went as a group.
Yeah. Just transferred every business right downtown.
Just tasting rooms and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'd be lovely to have your own tasting, like our own lounge, our own bar, to showcase all the spirits we're producing in-house here. But as of right now, yeah, I mean, we're just taking it day by day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Appreciate it.
We are taking time out at the distillery. It's the Tofino Distillery, an industrial way in Tofino.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
I have found, right next door to the distillery and right beside the brewery in Tofino, Summit Bakery, the only business that I know of here in Tofino, not named Tofino something, it's Summit Bakery. Brendan Fell, Cassidy McCoggan are the owners of Summit Bakery. Okay, so you got distillers here, all right, yep. And you got the brewery next door, yep. and then you've got charcuterie over there.
Yeah.
Okay, so it makes sense that there's a bakery here. How do I get the wine fan to think about a bakery? Because normally, very rarely, do you follow a croissant, for example, with anything less than a bubble. So, are you wine drinkers?
We like wine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're more here for the morning after a bottle of wine.
Okay.
Helps the mimosa. There. I mean, yeah, the mimosa. And
we help with the, yeah, you drink too much wine, and you come see us in the morning.
What's the good morning after on the counter?
Morning after, I'd probably suggest one of the morning buns. So it's like a sourdough base. We use the same dough as our Country Lebain bread. And seasonal vegetables. It's got an egg on there as well. Lots of cheese.
It's pretty exotic.
You get the egg, you get the dough to help soak it up, you get the cheese to sort of help settle the stomach a little bit. And
so we got croissants.
We have croissants, we have the morning buns, we have lots of bread.
Big bread program. Lots of pastries, lots of sweet pastries, savory pastries. Pretty big selection in the morning.
This is a baguette town, yeah. We have a lot of people who are discovering baguettes. Rediscovering baguettes.
You can carry a baguette down a beach, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you throw it in your bag. You can climb it up a mountain. Yeah. You take it in a helicopter. You take it fishing. You take it anywhere.
Cassidy McCoggan, Brendan Fell, the owner-operators of Summit Bakery. Are you baking for the restaurants in town?
We are, yes.
Lots of cafes and then some restaurants. We supply their bread as well.
Yeah, in total, I think we have 15 or 16 wholesale clients right now between Tofino and Euclid.
Have you done a kelp anything yet?
We haven't done a kelp anything, no. We haven't done a bread. We've thought about it, but...
Have you thought about anything cannabis?
Because the beer guys are talking about it. I laugh because it's a good question. We don't partake too much, so it's not, we'd have to bring in an advisor.
I'm thinking of your clientele as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we'd have to bring in an advisor on that one.
Dude.
Just for a bit of help.
I'm not talking like a hash cookie, okay? a cannabis something, infused something.
Yeah, I'm sure we could work some cannabis into the croissants, into the butter.
If not in this town, where?
Exactly.
Come on. It's the end of the road.
Yeah. No, the culture out here for sure. Yeah.
Cassidy McCoggan, Brendan Fell, the owner-operators of Summit Bakery. And you're crazy busy?
We're a little bit busier than we thought we'd be.
Do you want to be busier?
We found that in this first year, when we took this space, we thought this would be the space of all spaces. Yeah. And we could stay here for 10 years and never outgrow it. But we're already finding that we could use a bit more. So
this is going to be big.
It's a bit wild. When we opened, we ignorantly thought we could do it just the two of us. And we had this dream of just the two of us making bread together and supplying a couple cafes and being reasonably busy. And
what
very,
happened?
Very quickly we realized that was not possible.
What was your most popular item?
Probably the croissants and the bread. I think the bread is what really sold people. So we do a true sourdough.
Yeah.
No commercial yeast. A little bit in the baguettes, but It's a style of bread and approach to bread that takes a lot of patience and a lot of time and a lot of effort, which honestly scares a lot of bakeries bakeries off, and it's a lot of work. But the quality you get from that is really substantial. So I think the community really latched onto that, and they could see our passion, they could see the care that we were putting into our products.
Okay. Cassidy, why Summit?
It came from our love of hiking and how we'd have to probably give that up for a few years to do this, to get it started.
And how much did you give up?
All of it.
All of it, yeah. Haven't been up a mountain in
a year and a half. The summer before we opened, I think we did 11 peaks that summer.
That's great.
So, yeah.
What kind of life is this?
We'll get back to it.
When?
When? Hopefully next year. A little bit.
Or the year after.
Or the year after, okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, we'll see.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Very nice to meet you.
Cassidy McCaughan, Brendan Fell, the owner-operators of Summit Bakery.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Make your plans for August 1st and 2nd as the first annual 97 South Song Sessions take place. The shows will take place at Bench 1775 Winery and Penticton Lakeside Resort and Conference Center. August 1st and 2nd, some of the very best singer-songwriters will gather at Bench 1775. Details at bench1775.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The Cowichan Valley Wine Festival kicks off August 23rd with a spectacular tasting event at Shawnigan Lake School. And on the closing Sunday night, Unsworth will host an intimate long table dinner in the winery with winemaker Dan Wright. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com.
I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. We will be surrounded shortly by an entire garden filled with Tofinos. We're at the 17th annual Tofino Food and Wine Festival. Kira Rogers, she is the festival producer, and we're just setting up now. It's Saturday morning. There's calm before the storm, but I mean, after 17 years, I think you know what's coming.
I certainly do, and I have to say, this is probably one of the smoothest years in setup ever, so we're pretty happy about that.
I haven't seen you with a list of numbers, but tell me, if you can, just guess, how many different wines will be poured today, how many different wineries?
Well, we probably have about 110 drink tables, and I would say it's about 80% wines and wineries, and then about 20% beer, cider, and craft distilleries.
And how about food?
Well, we have we got 16 local chefs, and we have one island purveyor from Courtney, Natural Pastures Cheese Company, and then we have our friends from Quadra Island, Outlandish Shellfish Guild, and they'll be shucking oysters for everyone.
Did I see somewhere here the new barbecue joint?
Yeah, so Little Ronnie's is here, and he's got his smoker down at the water, down at the Mud Flats, if anyone knows what the Mud Flats is.
Tell me about George's vision. Tell me about this garden.
Okay. Well, this garden, I think, is 18 years old. The festival is 17 years old, and this garden is 12 acres of rainforest. It is George Patterson's vision. He has been building and growing and developing and shaping this garden for, 20 years. And it's a really special place in Tofino because it's a botanical garden in the middle of the rainforest. So in the middle of you're finding a 14-foot Himalayan lily and all sorts of amazing plants. And it's a beautiful venue for any type of event.
Why do you think these wineries come?
Well, I think everybody wants to go to Tofino. Tofino definitely is part of the magic. And wineries are, winemakers and owners, they work hard and a lot. And this is their chance to showcase how hard they work.
It's not a ballroom. It's not a convention center. It's not four walls, no windows.
It's not. It's outdoors in a rainforest. So you get to hit Tofino, you get to hit the rainforest, and you get to showcase your hard work.
What kind of wine town is Tofino? 17 years later.
So in my 20 years in and out of Tofino, I have watched the wine scene and the culinary scene explode from the Okanagan all the way over to Tofino. And there is a heck of a lot of foodies and top-notch restaurants all over the West Coast.
So it's a food and wine town.
It's a food and wine town.
I see industrial ways here. I just saw the Summit kids go by.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Summit Bread, yeah. Yeah, Industrial Way is a neat little part of Tofino because we've got a Red Can Gourmet Catering. We have Picnic Charcuterie with Tina up there. She makes all her own charcuterie up there. We've got a Tofino Brewery, Tofino Distillery, Summit Bread.
How many people are you expecting?
Probably see about 1,000 people through here today.
Kira Rogers, the festival producer at the 17th Annual Tofino Food and Wine Festival.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
I have found the director of sales and marketing for Culmina in the Okanagan, Sarah Triggs, and she has three beautiful white wines and crushed ice and then other things on the table. How many times have you come to this festival?
I have been here personally. This is my third time, and Culmina has been here for 4 times out of our 5 years of operation, so we love to be at this festival.
Are you Tofino people? You're comfortable here?
I did a lot of time on the island in university, so it's always a pleasure to come back to Vancouver Island in any capacity for myself. But Tofino, no, not a local by any stretch.
What kind of wine town would you say Tofino is?
I think that Tofino is an incredible epicenter of food and locally sourced produce and culinary amazingness, that wine just fits so beautifully alongside of that, along with craft beer and distilleries, etc. There's a real love for seeking out and tasting and exploring.
And flats of Lucky Lager.
Yes, the heritage all goes back to something,
Father
doesn't it? Yeah, exactly right.
What did you bring to pour from the portfolio?
2 wines from our highest elevation bench, our Unicus Gruner Veltliner and our Decora Riesling, as well as fan favorite Sania Rosé, our blend of 4 different Bordeaux red varieties in made in a dry style, our R&D red blend, and our Hypothesis, our flagship Bordeaux style red blend.
Tell me about the discussion amongst you guys about the color.
You know, for us, it's color and it's also texture and mouthfeel. I mean, more skin contact with a rosé, especially with Bordeaux varieties, also implies tannin. So, of course, we want to keep that skin contact to a proportion where we're not getting too much of that overt contact texture.
Did you want, when you had that discussion, did you want a patio sipper or did you want a food wine?
We definitely want a food wine, and I think that is merited in so much as not just the color, but also the dryness and also the complexity and the fussiness of production, because there's a lot easier way of making rosés than fermenting 15 Sania lots separately and blending them together. $24 direct from the winery.
I know you knew that.
Yeah.
Tell me what your reds.
We are a Bordeaux red producer, and we have essentially the little brother and the big daddy, if you will. Our R&D series is mainly made for our retail partners, so it's at the BC Liquor Store, but it's also made for a broad audience in the sense that it's an anytime, anywhere red. Lots of character and juicy fruit, but with enough structure to really blend well and go well with food.
Can be cellared, but...
That's right.
You could if you wanted to, but meant for
that's right, aging from the card to the table, exactly.
The big one?
And our Hypothesis really represents who we are in each vintage year. It embodies the most care and attention that we put together when producing a wine for each vintage. We hold it back in both barrel and bottle longer than even our single varietal reds in our program, to be able to make sure that it is at its best when it reaches the market. It also has the longest aging arc of any of the wines that we produce.
What's still to be released this year?
Well, we have a lot of fun wines in our number series coming for our fellowship, which include a skin contact Gewürztraminer, a wild ferment Viognier, a sort of carbonic maceration style Cabernet Franc from our terraces on Stan's Bench. Lots of fun things that we're playing around with. Yeah, we have our fellowship pickup party this summer at the Highcroft, and that's a fun thing where we are sharing our support of the arts with the Arts Club Theater at the Matilda production this summer in Vancouver.
Very cool. Yep. The price point on the baby brother
is $23.99 at the BC Liquor Store, yep, and $46 direct from the winery for Hypothesis.
Thank you for coming to Tofino and being Tofician.
Anytime. Our pleasure.
The director of sales and marketing for Culmina in the Okanagan, Sarah Triggs.
food, wine, and friends. It doesn't get any better. You're listening to Tasting Room Radio, a celebration of all three, with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
The 17th annual Tofino Food and Wine Festival. Tofitians of every description are showing up. We're in this gorgeous garden, sitting on a bench, and we have found Paul Gardner, who's the co-owner winemaker at Pantage. And the first thing I did, hello.
Hello, Terry, how are you?
Yeah, this is a beautiful event, relaxing.
How long have you come here?
This is actually only the second time. I think we were here 10, 12 years ago, and one thing leads to another, and this is the first chance we had to come back.
I walked over there, and I kind of get blinded. I mean, your portfolio is wide and deep, but I see the Rue Saint-Marsan, and I say, that's it. Start me there. I can die after this taste.
Yeah,
and
choice.
I have it in my glass here. Was it an afterthought to grow that, or was that a passion for you?
It was a passion. Definitely that Rhone planting we did in 2006, 2007 has produced some beautiful wines, and we're most proud of that wine.
What else did you plant?
We planted Mourvèdre, we planted Grenache, we planted Tempranillo, planted Petite Syrah, Petite Verdot, Malbec.
No Gamay?
We already had Gamay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you can't get enough Gamay.
No, it's turning out that. What a great grape for the Okanagan.
I think it's one of the great grapes of the Okanagan, and we don't quite realize it yet.
Yeah, I'd fully agree. Yep. We planted Pinot Noir last year, so that rounds out, I think, 21 varietals.
Here's the hard question.
Yeah.
What are you pouring today?
We're pouring Rue Saint-Marsan Viognier, GSM, Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre, Pinot Gris. Riesling.
Gee, if only your partner were here.
I know. Where is she over there?
Let me ask the real leader of this group.
Okay.
Julie Reddy.
Elusive.
What are you pouring today?
Oh, so we're pouring our beautiful Riesling 2013, which is on the drier side. Pouring our Rue Saint-Marsan Viognier 13, which is beautiful bodily aged. And then we have our GSM 2015, which we've just released. Our Pentage flagship red wine 2012. And then we have our awesome five-blend sparkling ice wine.
You didn't
that
even
was,
talk about the ice wine.
That was nicely done.
And that's why she...
That's why she's that's in why front of there. The table.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you. He is Paul Gardner, and he, along with Julie Rennie, are Pentage wines. Let me get back to the Rue Saint-Marsan Viognier.
Yep.
What's the key in the blending process? Where's the sweet spot for you?
We blend in the Viognier. So the Rue Saint and the Marsan is a field blend.
Separately?
No, together.
Okay.
Co-picked, co-fermented. They go to barrel. Obviously about a year in barrel fermentation. And the Viognier then is just a straight process again into oak, and then in the end we blend the two on it to get the sweet spot.
We're talking about Pentage wines here. Do you do a field blend?
We don't do it anymore. We did when the Dirty Dozen Vineyard was young and we were getting very, very low yields to get the plants established. We did a field blend one year, but we don't.
What was in that?
Geez, that was the gauntlet of those reds, the Malbec, the Petite Verdot, bit of Zin, the whole mix.
And how did it turn out?
It turned out well. It's funny that the only regret I have is that we didn't oak it.
Oh, okay.
And I always felt that we should have, and I just.
So I'm doing a field blend special, so I asked this question.
Okay.
Do you think we should maybe take a run at field blends in the Okanagan, and B, do you want to put it on the label? Because some people have a problem with that.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that. I think that your customer base that we have now would trust that they would buying a great bottle of wine, and we wouldn't do it if it didn't work. I think it's funny, people like the term.
Yeah.
They do.
I love the term.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I had some people wrinkle up their nose, go, no, we wouldn't put that on our label.
Yeah, no, I think that's, we've got to do stuff like that. It's fun.
And what's still to be released?
This year, we just released our Cab Sav 215, which is beautiful. That's pretty well the end of the 15s have now all been released. Some haven't even hit the store yet, because we're, as Julie mentioned, on the 12 with the Pentage. There's lots of beautiful wines in our warehouse.
You have a tasting room now?
We do, yep. Beautiful.
Do you welcome people? Do you smile and shake hands?
We do. They do. And people love the experience. They come down the end of that road. I think they're a little sometimes daunted by it, but once they come and it opens up and they see the vistas and they see the place, they love it.
He is Paul Gardner, and he, along with Julie Rennie, are Pentage Wines. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terry. Enjoy the show.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The Cowichan Valley Wine Festival kicks off August 23rd with a spectacular tasting event at Shawnigan Lake School. And on the closing Sunday night, Unsworth will host an intimate long table dinner in the winery with winemaker Dan Wright. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch Wines. In lieu of a message, I'll just read their last couple of tweets. Gobsmacked rosé is what springtime in the Okanagan tastes like. At Hatch Wines has just become an event core member, and we couldn't be more excited. If you like wine, good food, and a beautiful spot, this is your place. Hashtag The Hatch. And finally, New Hobos and more. All the details at hatchwines.com and at Hatch Wines.
In June of 2015, I went to, I think, my first Garagiste festival, perhaps my second, but they were just getting started. What is Garagiste? If you make under 2,000 cases of wine per year, you qualify as a Garagiste. Comes from the French for people who make wine in garages, so to speak. And I loved it. Some people, when they said Garagiste, it sounded dismissive, which really bothered me a lot because I liked the wines that I was tasting, and just because they were only making 2,000 didn't make it a bad thing. As a matter of fact, it worked to their advantage. One of the first people I talked to was Rob Hammersley, who was the owner, winemaker of Conviction Ridge Vineyard, and the label, he didn't have a label, said, the label says Black Market Wine Company. He's here with Michelle Suchuk. And did you say coming down the hill that this was your first festival?
The first festival at Tofino. Our first time here.
How do you like it?
It's a pretty nice place to have a wine festival.
What were you pouring on that first Garagiste?
We released two wines that very first year. We had a Bordeaux-style red blend called The Syndicate, and we had our mystery white wine called Secret Society.
Was it a mystery to us or you?
It was a mystery to everybody. Not to me, but to everyone else.
What was it?
It's an aromatic white blend. The first year we had Gewürztraminer, Ehrenfelzer, and Chardonnay. And we're now into our fifth vintage of that wine, and it's changed a little bit, but the style is still the same. It's aromatic.
Did you have your own vineyards, or were you purchasing?
At the time, we were purchasing grapes. We now have our own vineyard in Culloden, which is just south of Penticton. And we do a combination of our own fruit and purchased fruit.
He is Rob Hammersley. He's the owner, winemaker of Conviction Ridge Vineyard, and the wines that you want to look for are Black Market, and there's a beautiful eye right on top of the label. What are you pouring today?
Today we've got two whites, Secret Society being one of them, and then we have a Sauvignon Blanc Semillon blend called Collusion. We have a rosé made out of 30-year-old Merlot that's grown at our estate vineyard, and we have our Bordeaux blend, The Syndicate.
You say you bought some vineyards?
Yes.
What did you buy? What's planted?
We have 30-year-old plantings of Merlot and Bacchus, which is a white grape, and a small new planting of Pinot Blanc, about 5 years old.
No Pinot Noir?
No Pinot Noir.
Not now, not ever?
Well, we did make Pinot Noir 1 year. We have almost too many wines in our portfolio as it is for a small winery. We have sort of 6 or 7 wines each year, and we produce under 2,000 cases. So,
have you gone over and looked at Pentage?
They have a lot of wines, too.
112,000. That's ridiculously wide.
Yeah.
But they're comfortable with that.
Yeah. I like to make that many as well, but, I mean, more than 7 is a lot for a small producer.
You know, there was a Pinot Noir gathering in Culloden a couple of years ago of all those Pinot Noir makers.
Yes, there was. It's a great place to grow Pinot Noir, for sure.
They have a garden there as well.
They do, Linden Gardens.
But it's not a rainforest.
It's not.
All right, so what's the plan? Are you going to stay this size? Do you want to grow?
No, we're growing. We want to get to about 5,000 cases as our first sort of target. That gives you a bit of critical mass in terms of production and sales. And once we hit that, we'll see what's next.
What's the star of the show then?
Today for us? I think it's our new rosé.
Can people visit the vineyard?
We're hoping to have our tasting room open by August. Fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah, just in time for summer.
Yes. Yeah, that's our goal.
And where's the location?
We are at 198 Spruce Ave in Culloden, 5 minutes south of Penticton.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He is Rob Hammersley. He's the owner, winemaker, along with Michelle Suchak, owner of Conviction Ridge Vineyard. And the wines that you want to look for are Black Market, and there's a beautiful eye right on top of the label.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
The 17th annual Tofino Food and Wine Festival. We have worked our way into the rainforest, and they're standing there looking very lumberjackian. Chris Smith from Way West Wines. The table is loaded with Tantalus, Township 7, Chardonnay, Tantalus Riesling, Stoneboat, Sipes Brut of the Summerhill, and Burnt Timber. So give us the lowdown, if you would, young man, on Burnt Timber.
Burnt Timber is a new winery. The winery location is still being decided, but for now, it's at the end of the road past Cedar Creek. And their property is 30 acres on the lake that has just been planted with Riesling and Chardonnay. And it's right where the Okanagan Mountain Fire ended in 2003. So the name Burnt Timber comes from the skyline.
And who is they?
The owner is a common story in the Okanagan, wealthy Albertan retiree.
Gee, how about that?
Who decided to start a winery. And he decided to hire a winemaker, Jason Parks, who you may know from The Hatch and Indigenous and other many projects. And they got some contract vineyards down in Soyuz and Oliver to grow some big Bordeaux reds. So Merlot, Cab Franc, and Cab Sauv. And their first few vintages are all these big Bordeaux reds with a lot of time in the barrel, 30 to 45 months oak aging, Latin natural, like unracked, unvined, unfiltered, and big heavy reds. That's what they're shooting for.
So this is what we know about Jason Parks. He's absolutely crazy, but makes great wines. So this is what he's done here.
This is what he's done here. These are wines he's basically thrown into a barrel and just let them go. I mean, they're inoculated. They're not wild yeast fermented. They're not natural wines. But they're wines that he's taken his time with. These are new releases, and they're 2014 vintages. So they're wines that he's got time to just not speed the process, do you know?
Tell me about the Stoneboat Pinot House Rosé.
This is a 50% Pinot Noir, 50% Pinotage blend.
They have lakes of Pinotage there.
They are. He's a guy. He's a guy.
Because his dad wouldn't cut down those Pinotage vines.
And he tells the story about he loves this grape, and we're growing Pinotage, and he does a crazy good job of it.
Thank God for his stubbornness.
Yep.
Tantalus Riesling, we understand. Township Chardonnay, they have been primarily gotten my attention with their red, so tell me about the Chard.
Yeah, they have two sites, as you know. Township 7 sort of sprung up out of Langley, and now they have their Naramata property. Langley grows some Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, but this Chardonnay comes from their Naramata bench property.
Of course.
Yeah, so it's got a bit of oak. It's going to carry a little bit more ripe fruit and that little bit of toasty, oaky finish on it.
They were telling me that they were adding new equipment. They were, you know, ripping out whatever. So are these the new wines that we're seeing?
No, what they're doing really is they're turning their whole entire Langley operation into a sparkling wine house. So they're going to grow all Chardonnay and Pinot Noir.
Makes perfect sense.
Just for sparkling wines. And that's a hint of the future of what's going to happen with Township 7.
I see a bottle, Chris, here of Tantalus Maya Pinot Noir 2017. Where'd that come from?
This is the new packaging for the Tantalus Juveniles line of wines.
Let's go back to the original thought about juveniles.
Right. So the Tantalus has a couple of locations on their vineyard. They're a continuous estate, their true estate winery. They grow all their own fruit. And their newer blocks, the younger blocks, they vinified separately and called a new line of wines that came off those blocks juveniles. They had a juvenile Chardonnay, juveniles Pinot Noir.
Didn't exactly ring in a marketing sense.
Well, it did okay. Some people thought it was fun and cheeky, and some people thought it was just strange. But it did well. And then the fruit started to mature. The vines are now getting on almost 10 years. And they decided to bring those wines back into the branding style of the rest of the wineries with the Mass by Dempsey Bob and the packaging. So they're similar to the other Tantalus wines with the Mass, but they have a white label instead of a black label to denote the delineation.
and the word Maya.
So the owner, Eric Savix, has two kids. Maya is his daughter, and then the Chardonnay is named after his son, whose nickname is Bear, so it's called the Bear Chardonnay. He's actually Eric's junior, but that didn't have as much of a ring as Bear Chardonnay.
Yeah, Bear's marketing.
Yeah, so these are his kids' names.
That, by the way, that's a Tantalus Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
Maya. For how much?
$21.
Thank you. Chris Smith, Wayward West Wines, and he's got a loaded table here. We're at the 17th annual Tofino Food and Wine Festival, and I think they've opened the doors. All bets are off.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
This is the official last interview at the 17th annual Tofino Food and Wine Festival. We've come back to the same bench, and a large gentleman, about 6'5", got off so we could have this conversation with David Gouge from C-Star. And I got to get caught up. Hello.
Hello, hello.
I've been following your exploits, and I seem to have about half the story. First of all, tell me about you and Tofino in this. Have you poured here before?
No, we've not poured here before. We're not pouring today either, but we were featured at Long Beach Lodge at dinner last night. It was awesome. Great experience.
What'd you pour?
They chose the wines, and they chose just about everything. The Pinot Gris, the Blanc de Noir, or Encore, or Pinot Noir, or Ortega. Lots of them.
Seafood dinner?
You know, it was interesting. It was mostly. And then they switched to a pork belly for our Pinot Noir. And a beef tenderloin, they chose the Encore. And the first time ever I've done this at a tasting, they chose to continue with the Encore for dessert because they felt it went so well with chocolate. So it was a dark chocolate dessert.
And did it?
It perfect. The chef there is awesome. I mean, I think the food quality in Tofino is truly impressive.
What is it about that?
I don't know. I think probably it started with the wick. They brought in a great chef.
Sure.
They don't want to move after if they maybe get a new job, new restaurant, but they don't want to leave Tofino, so it just keeps raising the bar.
All right, so bring me up to speed on C-Star, your properties that you now own, the domain that you control.
Yeah,
rule.
It's going incredibly well, really. We just we can't make enough wine. Capacity issues, our latest thing that we're dealing with in the winery at Pender. So we bought the Saturna one, and that's got, you've been over there, I imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. Huge, huge facility.
But I mean,
right?
It was going nowhere. It was on the end of that island.
Yep.
It was, it looked beautifully planted, but I couldn't tell.
It was beautifully planted, and they chose the right varieties. But you tell me if I'm wrong about this. I think a lot of wineries that are starting from scratch in the Gulf Islands or on Vancouver Island, it takes, 5 years before you got a productive vine, right?
Sure.
And what do you do during those 5 years? You got all those expenses. So very typically, they go off brand. They start bringing in Okanagan grapes, and they're not on target. They're not actually representing who they ultimately want to be. So there's a false start.
There's somebody, as part of the company, looking at the numbers saying, you better start selling some wine.
Yeah. That wasn't our experience. We did immediately.
What did you do? Well, you made this incredible Blanc de Noir.
Yeah, it's not, and I didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't make it. I'm going to give full credit to our winemaker, Ian Baker. He's incredible. He's been working with these grapes for 25 years at least. So he knows these varietals inside and out.
And speaking of can't make enough.
Yeah.
You had to make more of that immediately.
Well, we've tried our best, but we can't do it. We're actually not closing the loop. Somebody goes to a restaurant, loves our wine, and then they can't get it at a liquor store typically. So we're hoping that we can get our production up. That said, a lot of the grapes that are over on Saturna are not the same grapes. There is lots of Pinot Noir and there's lots of Pinot Gris, so we'll be able to build those two up. I imagine our Stella Maris, which has been Backbone's Binkerwurz demeanor, I think it's going to morph into more of a Chardonnay backbone. Because there's a lot of that over there, or we might do a standalone Chardonnay. And the ultimate goal, too, is that a lot of people feel our brand needs a bubble. And everything they planted on Saturn is perfect for that. Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Pinot Meunier. So you could do a classic, okay. Or you can do a bubble, like a rosé bubble.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, they're all good. But, I mean, I think the things that are trending right now, you tell me what's trending, but rosé, natural wines, orange wines, and bubbles. I think those probably are what are really going.
I will agree with that, and I'll add one more.
Yeah.
C-Star just exploded.
Yep,
pretty much. How did you handle it?
We're not handling it terribly well. We're just running as fast as we can, we do disappoint people for sure. The liquor stores are very disappointed with the allocation we're able to provide, but we could make a whole bunch of decisions. We could just sell out of our tasting room and do nothing but, or restaurants and nothing but,
But the restaurants,
yeah,
they love you.
They do. And they actually, I think, are why we've had success immediately. From the day one was Andrea Vescovi at Blue Water Cafe. And then the second customer we had after him was Bryant Mao at Hawksworth. So when you got with Blue Water and then you go to Hawksworth, where, I mean, the rest of it just wrote itself, right? Yeah. And all every Somme knows each other. They're, I would say it's a really healthy competition. It's there's not an aggressiveness to it, but they really do pay attention to each other. So,
how does C-Star do in Tofino?
I know, you know, the dinner sold out anyway. So, but I'd be interested to ask this crowd how many people have heard of C-Star. In some ways, I think we have a cult following. There are people that are passionate.
Does it matter?
What?
As long as the wine sells.
Yeah, exactly. Frankly, I don't care. There's a whole bunch of things I don't have to care a lot about. Yeah.
So what's coming? What can we watch for this year?
Sizerna is going to be where the growth of our business is going to be, for sure. So, because we can't do anything more than we're already doing on Pender. And we also, you know, we are a community winery. We really have our roots in Pender. So we've been told that we could raise our prices significantly. I mean, when you have this kind of demand, you have that option. But we're not doing it because we are essentially a community winery. Everybody brings their friends that are coming to stay on Pender. They're really proud about it. And we don't want to lose that.
Have you been over to the cider house at Twin Islands?
Yes, I know the owners of that, and they're great people, and I think it's an awesome cidery.
They were voted by the 200 or 300 or 400 people who showed up at the BC Cider Festival Pipe Shop pour-off at the end of the cider week as the best cider in the room.
That's fantastic.
That's 40 cideries.
I hadn't heard that. That's fantastic.
And they also can't make enough.
No, absolutely. I think that their tasting room is less than 10 by 10. I don't think they needed a permit to build it. It's modest. But their ciders are really beautiful, dry ciders. And
can you make a nice rosé from that Pinot?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Totally. Yeah. Have you had it?
No.
No? You haven't had one?
No, your marketing people haven't reached out.
Oh, so I'm it. I'm the marketing guy. I guess I've never put one in your hands.
Come on.
If I had one, I would. No, that one, the one Treve Ring with Anthony Guzmani just gave it 91 points. That was the highest score of any of the rosés, and there was some from Italy and France, and
And
there
there's
we
nobody
are.
Better. She knows what she's talking about.
Oh, my God, right? She's incredible. Her and Cher McLean, the DJ, there are some really amazing women in this business that I respect a lot. So, and they've been real troopers for us right from the beginning.
Congratulations on your success.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Have you tasted anything here that you caught your attention?
You know, I did at the Chabreton, actually. I had it was like a orange Pinot Gris, and it was delicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Try the Siren's Call.
Yeah.
Over in the corner.
Okay.
There's an orange rosé.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
He wanted orange, but the orange shouldn't throw you. Just to have a taste of it and tell me what you think.
Yeah, I will. Thank
and
you.
And Lunescence over here.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm impressed with who's here. It's great.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. It's really good.
Yep.
Have a good time.
Thank you very much.
I'd love to come and see you.
Well, please do. Bring your
I'd
wife.
I'd love to come and see you. Is there a guest house at the end of the vineyard?
Yeah, well, if the winemaker's not in it, there is, yeah.
Thank you, David.
Okay, thank you. Good to see you.
David Gouge. C-Star, the 17th annual Tofino Food and Wine Festival. That's it. Thank you. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Hatch Wines. In lieu of a message, I'll just read their last couple of tweets. Gobsmacked rosé is what springtime in the Okanagan tastes like. At Hatch Wines has just become an event core member, and we couldn't be more excited. If you like wine, good food, and a beautiful spot, this is your place. Hashtag the Hatch. And finally, New Hobos and more. All the details at hatchwines.com and at Hatch Wines.